Welcome to another episode of Live Chat with Viv and Bill. Today I am really, I always say I'm really excited, but now I am really excited again because this is my adopted family is on with me today. I have my awesome favorite adopted mom, Louise Bolden, and I have my sister, Leslie Connor. I'm sorry, I keep forgetting that she got married and her name changed, but anyway. And also coming on soon, I hope, is my next sister, Debbie DeWitt, is her new last name. I have to get that one right, guys? So, Vilma, you don't know this story, and I'm going to share with the audience too, that when I came to America, my mom was not with me. So this family took me in, not that I didn't have a home, I had a home, but they brought me and they took me in as a part of their family. And I call her mom, I call her, her sister's aunt and so forth. And we have so many history going back in, way back in the day, maybe 30 years now. I know these ladies, and it's just been an honor and a pleasure being a part of their family. And I'm truly her daughter, and they treat me as such, even not the queen as such or anything. but I am so blessed to have them as a sister and as a mom, and I really, wonderful. Even my mother started calling them mom, because my mother said, how's your mom Louise doing? That's the sure thing my mother says to me. But I'm so appreciative and thankful that God has placed them in my life and in my, help frame in my destiny. And that's what we're talking about today, is those who shoulder we're standing on, and those who have impacted our lives and got us to the point where we are today, because God has put a lot of people in our path that impact our lives and change our destiny. Mm-hmm. And these are some of the individuals that have done that for me. And I wanted to highlight the things, highlight who they are and to see who have impacted them throughout their lives. So I would want you ladies to introduce yourselves and let our audience know who you are, where you live, and so forth. You want to start, Mom?
Yes, I will start. I know you would call me first. Well, good morning, everyone. It is a blessing to be here. I am Louise Bolden. I was born in Georgia, and after that, I went to school in Savannah. I left Savannah and I went to New York. I lived on Long Island. That's where I got married and had my children. And that's really where we grew up, but what I really want to bring to the front is that I am very blessed to have parents that really guided me into where I am now. It was funny that Vivalence started with the shoulders that we stand on, because that was one of the things I wrote down on my pad about the shoulders that we stand on. And we do, we have shoulders that we stand on, and people that really just pushed us to where we are, or brought us, or guided us to where we are today. After being in New York and married and with the children and stuff like that, I went into corporate to work, and I worked in the company for 30 some years. But I wanted to just thank my parents for the foundation that they instilled in me, about morals, about being, the best that you can, And we were brought up like in the South, in the Jim Crow area, but yet and still my parents didn't. They sheltered us from a lot of things. I put it that way. I was sheltered from a lot of things. They covered us, a lot of things that went on that I didn't see, I didn't know about. But, we learned about them. And no one bothered us. We were just sheltered. We went to school. We came home. It was 9 children. So we had enough people to play with. We didn't have to worry about going out in the world doing anything. Mm-hmm. So that was part of my, bringing up. And my parents really instilled in us what we could do. They didn't limit us. You know, you could do all that you can do. That's what they always instilled into us. Mm-hmm. So I do appreciate them for that, for guiding me into that, you know, and letting me know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we know that. And I try to instill that into my girls to also. Although I know that there were some times that things were hard, and even with my parents, but they did what they could do to make sure that we had everything that we need. We always had a roof over our heads. We always had food to eat, you know, we had clothes to wear, and that was great for us. Mm-hmm. You know, I look back on it. Sometimes we thought that we were lacking some stuff, but when I look back on it, we had a great life. Mm-hmm. Because we had parents that loved us and they were there all the time. So I look back over my life and I thank God for that. And I thank God for bringing me into the knowledge, because we were always had church. We were there. And I thank God for bringing me into the knowledge of his son, Jesus Christ, because that's where I really built my foundation on, you know, because that's where it was. And I thank God for the pastors and the teachers. I thank God for my professors in school, you know, that made me learn, to make sure that I learned and everything. So I am very blessed. I feel like, and God has brought me this far. This coming next month, I'll be 79 years old. So I really am, you know, blessed that God has brought me this far. And I know that through all of that, I look back on the things that we went through with growing up, because I was divorced at the time and bringing up my daughters and stuff alone. And I look back on their life, and I was sharing with my daughter, you know, just I think a couple of weeks ago, how I so appreciate where they have come from, where they have grown, how they have accomplished and what they have accomplished. I say, you are looking back on, when I look at your lives, I thank God that you have came this far. And I look at all of you, you know, the three of you, my daughters, what they have accomplished in life. And they are, we were on the phone one day and they were all sharing everything back and forth. And I just sat and listened and then just received all of that. And I sent them a little text saying, it was so nice to hear my babies just listen and share and what they went through and what they did and how, you know, and what was going on in their lives and stuff like that. It was such a blessing. And they are a blessing to me. And I thank God for that. I thank God for the pastors that I was under. Pastor Seton was a great foundation for me. And that is why, you know, we stand standing on the shoulders. I stand on the shoulders of my parents, of my professors, my teachers, my pastor, Pastor Seton. And now I'm with with Bishop Brana, which is just empowering the things that was already taught, that foundation, that sure foundation that we had, that was instilled in me, that I can stand on no matter what comes my way. So I'm just thankful for that. I really want to just thank Vivian for bringing me here, because it was not one of my things. I'm not a person that's out front. I'm a background person. I would help do whatever you have to do, but I'm not an out front person. So I just thank God for, you know, for her and her family. She's been a blessing to us also, how she just came in and made herself, you know, just fitted right in with the family. So we thank God for that. So I don't want to take up too much time. So
yeah, we'll come back to you with a question.
Okay.
Go ahead, Leslie. So I'm Leslie Connor. I've been married for about, 18 years now. I live here in Georgia, south of Atlanta. Born and raised in Long Island, New York, but always felt like I was a little country girl, because I come down and visit with my grandparents every summer till I was about 12 years old. So like my mom said, they really instilled in us a lot of values that we currently live by. You know, we were down here, the church revival every night. taking care of others, taking care of people is, you know, one of another foundation that they've taught us to be servants of others, you know. And that's something we learned in our church. We were my mom was the head of our special occasions committee while we were at Victory. And it's something that we still carry on today on how we are there taking care of just ministering. That's our ministry of how we take care of other people. And even though we've grown to do other things, though my mom won't say anything, that now she leads her own Bible study ministry group, which I'm very proud of. And I can even just tell by the way she speaks now how she's grown in that area of public speaking. You know, and it's great because, you know, like she said, she'll be 79 years old. And who says you still can't learn and still can't grow and still can't be used for what God ever, whatever God has for you to be used by. And that's, you know, something that we've been taught, that just be open and available. In my marriage, I have two children, two daughters. They're 17 and 13. And then I have two children from my husband's first marriage. Marissa's, I believe, 31, 32, and Garrett's 23. So they're older, out of school and on pretty much independent. And you know, like my mom said, I learned from my friends have been my rock. They taught us some basic things that I continue to live by, that I just have to do what's right, no matter what's going on, no matter the choice. When there's a choice I have to make, I just have to say what's right. I can't do the shady thing or the sly thing or the easy thing. I have to do what's right. And God has just been able to show favor in my life for that, and provide and exalt and make open doors for me. And I believe just recently I've been with Home Depot in the corporate office for 3 years, and just recently promoted to product support manager over their technology support center, where I've got like 15 different technologies that I'm responsible for, and the data centers in two different locations that I'm responsible for. Now, I went up against my peers that have been there for 10, 15 years that have 20, 30 years more technology experience, but God has placed people around me to encourage me. I wasn't even going for the position, but HR said, go for it. Practice, get your stuff in order, make sure you can, you know, update your resume, practice, and then I'm the one that gets the job. And I, you know, that's just nothing but God. You know, I still have to prepare myself. I still had to update. I still had to practice my resume, practice my answers, be prepared, but it was, you know, God doing his thing with other people, seeing things in me that maybe I didn't see. Maybe I didn't think I was ready for, or it was my right time for, but, you know, being with my family and my friends who've always encouraged me. I mean, Vivlin's like, "Kay, you got this. Kay, you should be this." I mean, they see in me things that I don't necessarily see myself as, and they've always encouraged me. So I think it's just been a, you know, an awesome thing when I look back, as my mom says, of where we were and where we are, and just trying to have my children understand, you know, like they are kind of, what's the word, entitled, but they don't understand that it takes work. It takes diligence. Even in this time during COVID, though it's challenging, though it's not where we want to be. We want to be out doing things, and there are a lot of things going on. God still wants us to put our best foot forward with whatever we touch. And that was one of the things that the scriptures that always stuck with me, was that I don't know it by heart, but I just know that Moses told Joshua, you know, let this word stay in you, right? Keep this word and follow it. And then whatever you touch, God will bless, pretty much, you know. So that's just some of those things are the things that I just try to keep in my life and show to my children. Like, they're just fundamental things you learn when you stay in God's word, little understandings, you know, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, just these little things that we do every day that help build character, and it builds things in you that you don't see, but other people see, and that opens doors that you don't even, you're not even aware of. Great. So that's a little bit about me.
Great. So
we see Debbie is trying to come in here. We're going to wait for her to just introduce herself, or we're just going to go jump in with your questions. What do you want to do, Bubba?
Okay, so we'll just continue, and she can introduce herself. And our audience have had, you know, a lot of knowledge about our guests here. And I am so grateful that you both are, you, all three of you, found the time to come on the program and to, you know, be with us so that we can talk to you and share the wealth of knowledge that you all have. And Miss Louise says she's 79. I need to see that birth certificate because I don't think she. And we want to welcome, for those of our listening audience, the our third guest is here, so we want to welcome her. Debbie, and she is going to introduce herself and let us know who she is. And she is not calling from America. That's all I'm going to say. So we can give her a pass on this one.
Hi, everyone. I do apologize for my tardiness. I am in another country. So thank you for giving me the pass. I really do appreciate it. My name is Deborah Davis DeWitt. I have known Vivillon for a very long time. I'm sure my sister and my mom have already expressed that as well. I am in IT, so I am a developer by trade. I've been writing code for a very long time and took an opportunity to do that here in the Netherlands. My husband is not with me, but he will be soon in the Netherlands. So we are bi-coastal right now, or are going across the pond right now. I am excited to be here and to be with you guys. And that's all about me right now.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And of course, we have been talking about Black history. This is Black History Month. And the first show that we had for the month of February, we talked about Black history, Vivillon, my co-host, and myself. So we are continuing this show about Black history. And the first question that I want to just throw out there, and either any of you can answer, is what are your thoughts about us celebrating Black history, designating a month that we celebrate Black history? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's great that we acknowledge the impact of people of color, Black, in America and all over the world, of how we have impacted the world, not just the African American or Black community, but communities all over the world. Then again, I think we should be celebrating Black history all year round. But I do love the fact that we do dedicate time to acknowledge not only just our presence, but our contributions to society as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Great. Anybody else want to chime in on that?
I think she said it. She said it best. What I love about it, I mean, I think the best thing for me is growing up on Long Island and then living here in Atlanta. It's very different in going to school. And I believe I was watching something and knowing that when I was raised in school, the only history we learned was about slavery when we were slaves. And and I remember being the only Black child in the classroom, mm-hmm. or one of two. And it was a great school, except for that, but feeling almost ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And because that's all we knew. And then I think that was the, not too long after that, Roots came out, and you started to learn more about, you know, not just the Martin Luther Kings out there, but there's a wealth of people out there that are doing great things. Mm-hmm. And what I love about being here on this in Atlanta, on the South Side for my daughters, because they are biracial, is that they're learning a lot more in the schools. Though, because I want them to learn not just our culture, I want them to learn all the cultures, because we are a global world that we live in, right? So we need to understand and have a foundation in our culture, but we also need to know how to interact globally with everybody else. So that's what I love. But just like Debbie said, she, you know, it's something that we need to celebrate, we need to encourage, mm-hmm. we need to be proud of, because we've done a lot of great things. And mm-hmm. I mean, and just to see how far we've come to have, and you know, a woman of color as our vice president, I mean, it's just like, to me, I just feel like here I am, a woman in my 50s, getting promoted to this position, and just, you're just starting to see women just doing more and being acknowledged more. And it's not that we weren't doing it before, but you know, it's just our time to really explode. And I think the years of you know, having this month and people expanding on it is just allowing things to grow and be accepted among cultures that aren't, you know, aware, or, you know, I don't know how to put it quite, but, you know, it's just made things more accepting and more open and more diverse. The more we talk about it, the more we are engaged with it across different platforms.
Wow. Good answers. Really good.
Yeah, I think too, it, you know, when Martin Luther King, when he said that people will be judged by the content of their character and not by the color of their skin, is basically what you're trying to say, Kay. It's like, we all a melting pot. We all need to learn about each other and move it away from the skin and more engage in a person's character and knowing who they are.
Right. And yet still understanding the culture of where they're coming from, but it's not always just based on the color of your skin. Your culture is, you know, not just that, but it's part of it. But just understanding it and learning it, learning about it, and just being open to learn people's cultures and integrate with it. And, you know, I mean, I just had a course at Home Depot about diversity and inclusion. And they talk about how the more diverse a company is, you know, they are more successful. The rate of growth and opportunities and innovation just is at a higher rate when they are more inclusive.
Mm. I like the fact that, just to chime in on that question a little bit more, is that you learn more and more every February, every year.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like, oh, wow, I didn't even know that, right? And then not only, not just from me being African American, but, or being Black, but people who are not in the Black community are learning more and more about the contributions that we've made to society. So I think that's also great as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes, I watched something on Nova the other week, and it was so, because every year I learn something more about the Black, you know, what we accomplish. And especially on PBS, they show a lot of things about Black history and what has happened and how we have, I don't want to say evolved, how what we accomplished. Mm-hmm. And there was something about the scientist that they had on Nova the other week. And it was so amazing how he, and this was not this was back in the day, way back in the day, that he wanted to be a scientist. And because he was Black, he received a scholarship to Harvard, but because he was Black, they weren't allowing Blacks in there. But he did get there anyway. But before he got there and he graduated top honors, but they would not let him be a scientist. They sent him back south to just let him be a teacher, but he did not give up. And it's those type of things that empower you, like, look, just because you said I can't doesn't mean that I can't. He didn't take no as an answer. He went on, he came back and he taught, but he still studied science. He still developed his what he was passionate about. And that's what he did, to the point where he was like a scientist against scientists. He was from America, Black from America, and this scientist was from a foreign country. And they had to test this product to make sure that it worked. And his outdid the other guy because he won what he was supposed to do. And they had to acknowledge him as a scientist, even though they didn't want to. So there are things out there that mm-hmm. people has accomplished, that I learn all the time, that people, we of color has accomplished, that we just don't hear about all the time, but they mm-hmm. are there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting because Vilma and I was talking about that too last week, about all these individuals that we don't know. I like to hear those, you know, stories of those first trailblazers, you know, like yes. we talked about Madam T.J. Walker. We talked about, who did we talk about? We talked about the guy who played baseball.
We talked about Jackie Robinson.
Right. Yeah, also the ladies who went to, mm-hmm. who worked on, or mathematicians who work right. on the spaceship. You know, we talked about some of these people. Even I think there was also a doctor who got a doctorate from Harvard to help with the heart stem or something like that. Mm. That I don't remember his name too. But I love to hear their story because, like we said earlier, is standing on the shoulders of our forefathers, standing on mm-hmm. the shoulders of those who have made an impact in this country. And around the world, because we don't, right. you know, we really don't know what Blacks have done in Europe, what Blacks have done mm-hmm. in various places. And Debbie, maybe you could share a light on this, of maybe you know of something they've done in Amsterdam, or know what they have done in that country to celebrate Black history.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening here. I just got here. So I know that by my neighborhood, there's a park. Right. And there is a monument to slavery. I know that there are things that are happening in reference to acknowledging the Netherlands participating in slavery and trying to amend for that in current situations. But I'm not really privy to how they celebrate Black history just yet. I'm mm-hmm. still looking it up as I live here. So I really don't know much about, you know, what they, you know, what happens here, but I'm sure there are, because that history from Suriname, slavery has happened here as just like slavery has happened in the States. So I'm sure there's some things happening. I just don't know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So just picking up on that and the pride that I hear when you all share about, you know, Black history and what it means, do you in turn teach that to your children? Do you emphasize Black history to them? I know your mom did because you all are so passionate like herself, but what about the younger ones? And yeah.
Yes. So I definitely do. I think there was a time where both of my daughters, when we were in the schools here on the South Side that were predominantly Black, they actually were bullied by their Black peers because they were biracial. That bothers me that that still goes on to this day within our own culture. So there were a time that my oldest, she leaned towards more of saying she felt more white, which I'm not sure what that means. My youngest one was picked on, and then she wanted to be darker so she could fit in more. Mm-hmm. And my thing was like, God made you the way you are for your own purpose and your own destiny. And you need to embody that. You need to embody what you are. You have a large history of strong African-American culture, Native American culture, Spanish culture, German. You are filled with a lot of different things. And that's what I try to teach them, is to honor all of it. Mm-hmm. Right? Honor all of it. And but I let them know that, you know, when people look at you, people will see that you are of an African American race that's predominant. Own it, love it. Mm-hmm. So my oldest one now, her hair texture is more of an African American hair texture, more kinky and curly. And she wanted her sister's hair that's more fine and wavy because she couldn't manage it. But now she's owning it and loving it and wanting to be natural and mm-hmm. wanting to care for it and style it. And, you know, and I was taking her to a soccer game yesterday and she was doing her hair and I just loved it. And she was like, I got to get this right. And I'm like, and it's just really just part of being a young woman, but just owning who you are. Mm-hmm. And that's what I teach them. And I'm like, I want you to understand that you are, so when it comes to animals, you know, they have pure breeds and we used to call them mutts, but now they're, cock, you know, like we were going to get a dog, a labradoodle, the designers. I said, so you are a designer breed. You're a designer.
Right.
You know, and you have to just learn how to own what you own and take in every bit of it. And they are, and they're learning, they're understanding, especially my oldest one, in understanding what it means when we say Black Lives Matter, and understanding that sentiment. Because at first she was like, I'm not sure I get it. And then when we were going in depth and watching, you know, what was going on in society. And then we went back and how long it's been going on, that it's not new. I said that it was the pandemic that people are home and they had to stop and actually be able to watch and, you know, and say, wait a minute, you know, this is going on and has been going on, you know, and these are happening to our Black brothers, mm-hmm. and sisters. And I said, and you have a whole family load that, you know, that could happen. It could happen to you because people will see you as an African American. So teaching them and understanding them and having them to own it and love it. And that's where we're in the process now, right? Just own it and love it and grow with it and be able to just, you know, take it step by step.
Thank you. It's good. Good. Anybody else want to chime in on that?
Oh, she's the only one with children.
Okay. You know, I love what you say because what I found out is that children can be mean. So sometimes when you know, like your daughter, she may not find that she fit into any one group because one group may not want to accept you because you are not like us, you're not Black enough, or the other may say you're not white enough. But I love what you say, and I love the analogy that you use about a designer. You know, so that when you tell me that it's a deliberate carving, it's a deliberate mindset that this is who you are, you know, it's deliberate. You were made by God with all these different pieces, and you own it and be proud of it because that's who you are. And, you know, you can't change who you are, you know, so celebrate it. So I love that. I love that very much. Mm-hmm. Is this?
I don't have children. I have my nieces. My sister's kids, right? And so those are my
children. But it takes a village, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then when I see Vivian's boys, those are my sons, right? So, but in reference to teaching them, I made sure when I did have opportunities with them, especially when they were younger, I had books that were more Afrocentric, so they can learn about certain things in the in our history. So really perpetuating that side of their culture, and mm-hmm. also ensuring that they also understood that they are designer, mm-hmm. and so that there are other things that they could, we can talk about in reference to their culture. But I did have a lot of books about, you know, Martin Luther King and stuff like that in the house, mm-hmm. and they had sort of like storybooks, so I can, you know, make sure that they knew about that side of it as well.
Wonderful.
One thing also, we had friends come visit us. We had a couple come, and they were a biracial couple, but it was Trish, and she was white, but she was like, she wanted to go to the Martin Luther King Center. And she was like, your kids need to understand, you know, we want to make sure that they're strong. I mean, and it's coming from, and it takes all different types, right? Not just African-American people trying to build your kids up, but it takes everyone who is in your circle mm-hmm. to make them strong and confident who they are. So that was the first year. Kayla was only maybe not even a year old, or maybe just 9 months, and Kimberly was 5, but we went there with them to experience that. So every time we come down, we have friends come down, we're experiencing different parts of Atlanta that is so rich in different culture, that mm-hmm. different history and stuff like that for them. But I just love that, you know, this was a friend that, you know, we were just gonna hang out. She's like, anytime we can teach them, let's teach them, let's let them know about who they are. Because this is it's a part of who I am too, because this is my history as well, you know, and I thought that was great.
Mm-hmm. Great, great.
So who would you say in history, would you say, or maybe currently, of anyone that has truly, your life has impacted you, or you would say, wow, I would really look to this person. Is there anyone in history or currently that you would look and say, hey, this person really, you know, things you've done or things you've said or whatever may be have really impacted you or just left a little something within you?
I'm going to say so everybody thinks that Alexander Graham Bell invented the light bulb, right? But the light bulb is nothing without the filament.
Right.
And the man who invented the filament was a Black man, right? And a lot of people don't know that, right? And he gets all the credit for bringing light into homes, but his light bulb wouldn't have worked without that filament. And the filament in a light bulb is tiny. It's a small incremental piece in the bulb, but it makes the light shine. And a lot of people don't know that that was a Black man, right? And every time I think of Black history, I think of that Black man who invented that, because he doesn't get the kudos, right, mm-hmm. for helping Alexander Graham Bell, right? Everybody's mm-hmm. about Alexander Graham Bell. So yeah, that's one person I think about all the time, right?
You know, I'm glad you said that. Last week we spoke about that. in our show last week, we spoke about that, and, you know, maybe not in the same words, but we pointed out that although he did the light bulb, in order for the light bulb to work, it needed something additional, which yeah. was created by this this black.
It was Latimer. Yep.
Yep. You're right on. Right on.
How about you, Mom?
I was trying to think of someone in history or now. Like I said in the beginning, the persons that really impacted my life more was my parents. Mm-hmm. So. I give them that credit for that in Black history. I think about my father and the day when he was, you know, when people were sharecroppers, he bought land with nine yeah. children. He bought land, you know, and we, you know, for farmers and stuff like that, when other Black people around us were still sharecroppers, we owned.
In the old South, he bought land. I mean, it's just amazing that he did that.
So I, you know, that was, you know, that's really my, you know, what I think about, you know, my granddaughter, my youngest, when she was learning about sharecroppers in school, and I said, oh, I say, your great grandfather my father was a sharecropper. She said, oh, like that. She was sad. And I said, don't be sad. He just did it. He did it until he was able to purchase it. And now he's no longer a sharecropper. He owns his land now, you know? Mm-hmm. So those are things that I look back on that really, I go to my family. My family is, that's my, you know, that's my foundation. Mm-hmm. I'm a family person, you know? So I like that. And I, you know, like I don't negate the fact of the Martin Luther Kings and all the other great inventors that brought things about, but I do stand on the shoulders of my family.
I have to like piggyback off my mom's that as well. The fact that my grandfather bought land, and it had to be in the 30s or the 40s, right, Mom?
Yes, yeah.
It was still during Jim Crow, right? It was still during the time where there was a separation and where Black men were not allowed to go into certain shops, and he owned his own land. And that is just one incredible thing about my grandfather and my grandmother that not too many people of color can say in the South, right? So I'm going to have to say not only Louis Latimer, but my grandpa as well. And my grandmother.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, as I think about it, is if we emphasize more the good than the bad, then we would have probably more people who are proud of who they are. Because I think one of the things why as African Americans, we are not as proud of who we are, where we descend from, but it's because of the negative things that we hear in the news all the time. When I came to this country over, you know, 35 years ago, I hated even looking at the news, and I was thinking, why is it that Black people are so bad here in this country? And then I learned to understand that when you don't see the picture of the perpetrator or the person who committed the crime, is because they're not Black, they are of a different color. So then I started to learn certain things and to pick up on certain things, to know that it's not that other people were not committing crime, but they were not shown as much. So you didn't get that image in your mind as they would when the person was of color. So, you know, you learn along the way. And I think more if we, even with Black Lives Matter, if people can identify some of these little nuances that go on, then we can understand, you know what, there are good things that we have done, but we don't hear that emphasized as much as, you know, the negative things. And if you're constantly getting that image, if you're in your mind, if they were, they're constantly showing the dolls that have long hair, they're constantly telling you how easy it is to do that kind of a hair, if they're constantly telling you, you know, white is right, and you know, and they're constantly putting those images, you start to believe it. You start to believe it. So that's one thing I love about Black History Month, and not only the month, as somebody said, this is something we should be emphasizing all through the year. So we give them a change in the image that they now have of who they are. So I love what you're doing.
Another thing that I was sharing with my sister, and I shared it with my nephew the other day. I said, I am very tired of the people stereotyping the Black race. Mm-hmm. Whenever anything happens, no matter what it is, it always say, well, you know, it's the Black race. They get it better. They have it worse. They have it worse. I said, we have to stop buying into that. Mm-hmm. Because the same person that had us in slavery are the same people that are putting that out. And we're still buying into that, saying, mm-hmm. oh, well, you know, it's going to affect the Black race worse because, you know, they're, you know, blah, 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 blah. They're doing that. But look, are they going to lose their jobs first? And I was like, I said to them, I said, you know, I don't know anyone that's lost their job during this pandemic. Everyone I know is working. Not only are they working, I said, my daughter got a promotion during the pandemic.
Or moved to another country.
One moved to another country and she's still working. You know, I said, so I don't understand why people, don't get me wrong, I know there are people that do need it, but why is it it's always the Black race that does that? We have to stop buying into that. I said, here, we have doctors, we have lawyers, we have professors, we have teachers, we have entrepreneurs, we have a Black president, we have a Black vice president, we have, you know, we have policemen, we have it all. We have really came a long ways. Let's look at what we have and stop thinking about what we don't have. We need to look at that as a Black person, mm-hmm. as a Black people.
Keep preaching.
I also want to talk about a documentary I watched by Ava DuVernay called 13th. Mm-hmm. And it was so empowering. And then I realized how I fit in to that the message that, you know, our news media was putting out, because it was mm-hmm. showing Black people in the wrong way. And I used to be in retail, and I used to think, you know, the people that I caught stealing, people were stealing from me, all different people were stealing from me. And I know that now, but I always was able to catch the Black people. And I was just like, and I had that same thought in my head, mm-hmm. you know, but we were programmed because we were seeing it over mm-hmm. and over, and that's what they wanted. I mean, it was all a part of this, a bigger picture, just to keep us in a certain place, you know. When I looked at the two lines that say that, yeah, you have the right to vote, you're free as long as you're not a criminal. So everything mm-hmm. I'm going to do for you is criminalize you, and I'm going to make the world think that you're a criminal, mm-hmm. and I'm going to even make your own people think you're a criminal.
Right? You didn't do anything, right?
Right. You know, and how many times when you're in a neighborhood and you look at someone, you're like, I'm going to hold on to my purse because we criminalized each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's really a good point that you brought up, Kate and Ma, on what you were mm-hmm. saying, because it's true. Because I remember even driving down, okay, God forgive me and everyone else. I remember driving down Patchogue one day, my girlfriend Erica and I, and they know about Patchogue. It's like mm-hmm. Belport. No, it wasn't Patchogue. It was Belport. Sorry.
Belport. Yes.
And I was like, we were there, and we're in the car, and it was like a whole bunch of Black youth runs through. We're like, oh, Black people. And we're looking at each other, and we're like, oh my God, are we Black? But you know, it's true. We see this stuff in the media, and we start believing this lie.
Yes.
But like you just said, Kay, when you were retelling, you caught most of the Black people because you were programmed to thinking that Blacks were the ones that steal.
Right, and exactly. And I wasn't seeing the other people that steal. That was stealing right in front of my face.
Right, because you're programmed to look for those individuals. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's like you said, Ma, it's time for us to start elevating each other to the next level.
Right.
It's time for us to see each other as how God sees us. And mm-hmm. how God sees those individuals, and that we're able to elevate each other to another level. You know, we're standing on those people, our forefathers, but let's get those younger in the generation to stand on our shoulders and go to the next mm-hmm. level and see us as those doctors, those lawyers, those police, mm-hmm. the judges, mm-hmm. and that, hey, you can achieve higher. And you also mentioned earlier, 2K, that bringing this whole thing into convergence here, where you said, your kids were privileged and they don't understand somewhat of the struggle where, you know, where your family is coming from. You know, I too have to say the same thing to my kids. Like, hey, I said to my son, clean your room. Can we hire somebody to do that? That was his response. I'm like, listen here, boy, go clean your room. You know, they are coming from all the generation, all the things that our family and our forefathers have suffered and paid the price. They don't know it. They're not privileged, you know, in a sense where they don't know hard, you know, go clean that bathroom, go clean that whole house on a Saturday or whatever it may be, and do something and stop wasting time on that computer or whatever it may be. But mm-hmm. it's, yeah, we need to start seeing each other in a different light and start elevating them to see themselves in that light and yes. not looking for the man or looking for the system to give them something. So
right.
that's really a good thing there of, you know, for us to start thinking about doing next. Mm-hmm. And when we see each other, to empower each other to go to the next level.
Absolutely, yes. absolutely. And it's just, it begins even just very simple. We see somebody and they are dressed nicely and their hair looks good, but they may have the wrong color to us. Pocketbook. And instead of saying how beautiful they are, we go to the negative piece of it. Mm. So even as thing as simple as that, we just have to start to retrain our mind. And coming back to something that you said, Leslie, about, you know, catching those who are Black, you know why? Because the cameras, even in the store, they are trained on those who Black. And I have heard, I don't have any intimate knowledge of it, but I've heard where like the white person will go in the store with a Black person, have them look at the Black person, follow them around, and he does the stealing and go out and they share the loot. Wow. Yeah, but you know, I really do believe that we have great Black men and women who have done, against all odds, they have done a tremendous work to allow us to be doing this, to allow us to have a seat at the table. And we may not be quite at the table, but we are in the same room.
Right.
And if we continue to push, we also will sit at the table. In a year, and I didn't see this on the news, and I'm not saying it should be on the news, in one family, when I graduated with a PhD, my daughter and my sister, all three of us, the same year, the same weekend, one the day before and two the day after, graduated with a PhD. Now, if we were of a different color, then we probably would be all over the news. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, rarely do you see that happening in a family.
Right. Yeah.
But if on that weekend, when we had that great celebration that was going on, somebody from the family had done something, then that negative thing that was done would be the thing that would be on the news. Mm-hmm. So we need to celebrate each other.
Definitely.
And we need to be that shoulder that the next generation will stand on. So we can start by our children, our nieces, our nephews, our family members being able to stand on our shoulder, because we have to get them seated, you know, at the table at all times, at every meal, not just mm-hmm. at some meal, but at every meal, so that they can continue to make the impact that we know we can in this world. All right, Bibilin, as we wrap up, what's your last word that we...
I was just asking you the same thing. Oh. I guess you're not hearing me. But yeah, is there anything else you guys want to share or anything you want to say that, you know, we didn't get a chance to ask you? I know that, you know, it was a very informative and mm-hmm. we love all the things that you guys shared. It was great. And like I said earlier, this is my family. My adopted family, and you know, I just love and appreciate them. Even though I said, "Can you guys come on my show?" I didn't ask them really if they want to come on. I just said, "You're coming on the show."
You did not ask.
Yeah. That's why there was crickets. I'm like, was that an ask? Or
being told something? I shouldn't feel too badly then when she bosses me around.
No.
I'm much older than she is, but she tries to boss me around.
That's just part of her character.
Oh, I see.
That's just Viv.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I told you want to get dirt on me. They know it, but that's another show altogether. But anyway, so I do really appreciate you guys being on. And Debbie, I know you're 6 hours ahead of us and you're taking the time to do this also. And, you know,
Anything for you, Viv.
Well, thank you. I love you guys dearly. And, you know, we really, certain things that you guys have said, you know, I really appreciate those things because, mm-hmm. you know, like Ma, we said over and over again, you know, what you said is really great about, you know, the next generation highlighting those things and what you talked about your parents and the things that you've accomplished over the years. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, I can also say, like I said in the beginning, that I'm standing on your shoulder because of what you've brought. You've brought me into your family. And I remember, I don't want to get emotional, tear the eye here, but I remember there's things that both my sisters have done that helped pave my way. And I remember, I'm like, I think differently than all the rest of our friends. The Vilma, you don't know, 6 of us were really close friends at the time. And I remember, I'm like, Debbie, you know, she has brought the, if you want to know where I get my elegance from, it's from Debbie Davis. she used to be a model, so she know how to flare, you know. And the one that keep me on track is Leslie Davis. Because I remember I've done stuff and she's like, we can do it, but you sure can't do that. you don't do what we do.
Right.
So I really appreciate you guys being on and being with us and sharing all the things that you guys have shared, because it was really good information. And I'm sure Leslie and we can able to say, hey, let's think about being the change for the next generation.
Yes.
And let's think about absolutely. All the good things we have accomplished and stop looking at the negative. Mm-hmm. Let's think about the goodness of God in the land of the living. And,
yeah.
and we can glorify him in all the successes, like Leslie was pointing out about how she got a promotion and she may not have thought that she could have gotten it, but hey, mm-hmm. your people who surround her to say, hey girl, you can do it, you can get mm-hmm. it. Look at all these people who are more qualified than you, but God have it that she's the one who got it. So no mm-hmm. matter what the situation may be, no matter what the circumstances may be, we know that we have a creator that can do above, exceedingly above all that we can ask or think. And
that's
we
right.
thank you. Thank you, Vilma. I hope you don't have anything else because I was just about to close.
No, we have gone over our time. Just to remind our audience that you can catch us on Facebook live chat with Viv and Vil. You can email us if you have any questions, livechatvivandvil@gmail.com. You can go on our website, which is livechatwithvivandvil.com. You can see us on YouTube and you can see us on various podcasts. Medium.
Awesome.
All righty.
Thank you guys. This is another episode of Life Chat with Vivian. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.